the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys. Hey, we were talking about pork butts, and I got one more subject to cover, and that is when you're cooking this, there is a thing that's called the stall. And you'll see it because you need to keep a temperature probe inside at least one of your pork butts that's on your smoker.
Well, or take your thermal pen and put it in the smack dab in the center.
Right.
You don't have to keep one in there. If you don't have one that has remotes and stuff,
right,
it's okay. You can do it with
right.
You can even use your wife's or your mom's old analog.
Right. But the point is that I like to open the smoker as seldom as possible.
Right.
When I'm in the cook, right? Right? So, but when the butt gets to about 145, you'll see you put them on there somewhere around 38, 40 degrees if they come out of your refrigerator. And you watch this temperature, and it just keeps rising and rising and rising as you're smoking. And then all of a sudden, it hits this, like, 145.
Yeah, and like maybe 155 typical
stall. It stops.
Yep.
And it just sits there for, like, an hour. And if you're new at this, you're like, what the heck's going on with my smoker? Yeah, this thing stopped.
Then you go have another beer. You start watching the game. You go back. And you're now over temp.
Right.
Because you fell asleep.
Yeah. So at that stall, I call it the stall, so call it 150. We'll split the difference. At 150 degrees, this thing's going to just sit there. At that point, when you and Cowboy Rob Russell, rest his soul, were teaching me this, we pulled them off and we wrapped them in a layer of foil,
right,
and put them back on. Now, that does two things in my mind. What it does is it seals it up and it lets itself steam itself, right? And then it traps any of the fat that's rendering between 150 and that 195 where we want to 200 where we want to pull that off. It's inside that foil. And so when you open it up, when it's done, you either can mix that fat in or you can pour it off, whatever you choose.
Yep.
I put most of it back in the meat because
absolutely,
it's flavor.
Yep.
It's a ton of flavor. But the point is that the butts that you just did for me, let me finish with that. Let me finish with this, though.
There's so much to talk about.
Right. When you wrap it.
Can you tell when we're getting excited, Conrad?
Right,
because
yeah,
we're talking butts here, and
yeah, right,
there's so much to say.
So when you wrap it like that, you don't get bark. Okay? That steaming of the last 50 degrees or so dissolves a lot of the crunchiness. So
it changes the bark.
Right. It's there. The flavor's there, but it's not the texture.
It ruins it.
Right. Well, you would say that because and you have an affliction for no foil. I get that.
Yeah. I have an affliction for no cancer.
Right.
No,
yeah,
Alzheimer's.
Yeah, right.
No any of that crap that aluminum does to you.
Right. So you brought over or the clandestine stuff that came through the woods. If you're just tuning in, that means nothing to you. But
okay, it was an operation, okay?
Right.
I've been on some operations in green vehicles. This was similar.
Right. So, but now you tell them what you did, because your technique's a little different.
So because I had like 5,000 butts to do.
Yeah. There might have been 30.
The poor smoker was just like going, oh, if you put another pound in me, I'm just going to fall apart.
Right.
So, yeah, it stalled for a long time, and I started just chewing up the charcoal.
Right.
And so I got them to, I mean, some of them were 190,
mm-hmm,
but some of those were 175, so I probed them all. And the ones that were at 190, that's a fine temperature to pull them at.
Right.
I like 195 to pull them, because with a piece of meat that big, then you will actually get a 5-degree rise in the meat when you're holding it. On a steak and stuff like that, you don't really get a temperature rise. But when you get a big protein like that, it does want to spike on you after you pull it, which is weird. So
pull it off the smoker,
not
pull it
warming
up to eat it. Yeah, right. Yeah,
just to be morbid. But there were so many of them, and I had plenty of big rolls of foil that I don't use any longer. But it's like if I have to wrap all these things, it's going to take me another half hour. I'm going to have that thing open so long, I'm not going to be ready till 1 or 2 in the morning.
Right.
And Jop's shooting for midnight. So I said, screw it. We're just not going to wrap them. And so I pulled out a bunch of them at 190, probed them. And then the rest of them are at like 170. And I put all those in the bottom of this giant cooler.
Right.
And then I put the fully cooked ones on top. And I told you, like, the first layer, those are up to temp. The rest of them you might need to finish off in your oven. I don't know if you did that. Mm-hmm. If you're bagging them in sous vide, that'd be another way to finish them off.
Yeah, I finished them in the oven.
Yep. So, but the bark is better when you don't wrap
it. It's a little crunchy.
Yeah.
And it's got a chew to it.
Yep.
Where if I do them in foil like I described, there is no crunch, there is no chew. The flavor's still there, and that's the trade-off, is
yep.
that you get the texture if you do it with no foil. You get more flavor because you've captured all that fat that renders, where if you don't put the foil on there, it drips off, right? There's still some in there, don't get me wrong, but it's not like it is when you put it in foil. You'll open that foil up, and there'll be a quarter inch of fat just in the bottom of that in a vessel.
Yeah.
And you can mix that back in. You're not going to hurt
anybody. Well, what you'll notice is you'll see the clear fat on top, and then you'll see whatever color your spices are, typically
right.
have some red. You'll see some red juice in the bottom.
Yep.
Now, if you wanted to, don't be finicky about it. Just pour it back on your meat.
Right.
It's barbecue.
Right.
And it's good. So
makes it really moist, too.
Yeah. So just because I had that one butt, well, I smoked a butt.
Right.
I wanted some sauce, and the only sauce I had was that stuff T-Gid sent up, and I'm kind of hoarding that. So I thought, okay, I'm going to make a little sauce. And my daughter-in-law is there, and I'm like, you know.
She's a huge foodie.
She is. So I got out a commercial can of tomatoes and then some tomato sauces, and I just got up this big pot of tomato base, and I started cooking it and cooking it and cooking it. And then I added some pure cane sugar. I added some cider vinegar. I added some balsamic, and some kosher salt and some paprika and some garlic. And the next thing you know, I added some pineapple.
Yeah.
Some peppers.
Hot peppers? Or?
So it was like a habanero pepper sauce is what I ended up with. And I didn't like it. Did I give you a bottle of it? I didn't have it.
Thank God, no.
I didn't have it. I didn't make it till the next day. But I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And according to somebody who tasted it, it's fantastic. So I was like, you know how it is. When you make something, you've been tasting it the whole cook. So it's like, I don't know if I like it
yeah.
or not.
Yep.
But it's that easy.
I was waiting for that hot pepper piece to come in there because most of the recipes that you do from scratch like that have a little twang of some sort of a hot pepper.
Well,
in it.
You notice I brought Shalula for your eggs this morning.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Yeah.
And she did a good job serving
yeah,
them.
Yeah, she's my girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an old joke from the Hampton Inn. Anyway, in the service, everybody in the Air Force uses hot sauce on breakfast.
Sure, I do too.
So
I love
you,
it.
So you,
I don't. I'm not a big hot sauce guy, but I like it on eggs and I like it on breakfast meat. So you made your own sauce. We cook butts in a different way. If you're not gathering this from the show, there's no right or wrong way to do stuff. It's just we've done it a lot of different ways,
yep.
and we just tried to tell you a little bit about those two different techniques because you'll get a very similar but a little bit different result.
Well, and Job was talking about Cowboy Rob, and Rob Russell worked for Ace of Hearts Barbecue. And that's who I repped for, one of my smokers and one of my sauce and rub companies. And he became one of my best friends, and he became one of Jop's best friends. And we traveled, he and I traveled the country doing barbecue classes. And we did one for the Ace Hardware up in Rockford, and I think Jop actually came to that one.
Yep, yep.
And you and I had already been working together on quite a bit of stuff. So, but you can never have too many classes because you just never know what you're going to pick up. And sometimes it's from somebody else just at the class.
Right, right.
But anyway, I don't want to beat the butt too much. I would like you to check out thegrillinguys.com and check out our sponsors over on the right-hand side of thegrillinguys.com. You click on the link to the sponsor, Garrett's, all these people, they've got specials going on. You can buy from them. We've got more sponsors coming on shortly, and those will be ones that you can just order online. But also, you can click at the bottom of that site, and you can go to Jethro Live, so you can stream this show at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. You go to the top right side of that website, look at the headset, and you can you can see the instructions for the podcast. But the easy thing with a podcast and as I've discovered, like everybody has an Apple phone. So you just go to the Apple Podcast app, punch in The Grilling Guys. They love us. Our logo is going to come right up, and it'll come to your show. Just check follow, and it'll come to your show every Saturday after the broadcast. And you can, if you miss a show, you can hear it then.
All right, Willie, appreciate you tuning in. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker, and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.